Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service of holy baptism. There is little Micah who will be baptized. And one other introduction, our canon for congregational development is also here. This is David Erickson. Let us welcome him as well. Our liturgy begins in your bulletin. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
There is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope in God's call to us.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life. Give us grace to receive thankfully the fruits of his redeeming work and to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My friend Christopher Martin is a priest in San Francisco. And over my vacation, he sent me via email some poems that he had written. As many of you know, I am an avid reader. I will devour novels. But when it comes to poetry, to be honest, it kind of freaks me out. Because I know enough to know that poetry is really deep and that I need to spend time with it. And I know enough to know that I need to let it sink into my soul, but I never feel like I have gotten all that I should be getting out of a poem. So my first reaction to my friend Christopher, whose poetry was about the Eucharist itself, was, "You gotta give me some serious time to digest these poems that you've given me so that I can respond to you in the way that you deserve, so that I can really hear them." The Gospel of John is a poem. You have to think of it that way, because if you look at the whole gospel, it is crafted so beautifully that the placement of every action and every word has immense meaning. It's not just a recounting of what Jesus did. It is an orchestrated piece of poetry. Jesus does seven miracles because seven is considered a holy number, or seven signs, John calls them. And after each miracle or sign, Jesus speaks about who he really is. So he does a miracle and then he speaks. And then he does another miracle and then he speaks. And each time he talks, Jesus says the words, "I am something." You know the name of God from the Hebrew Scriptures was, "I am that I am." And the word Yahweh, we're not exactly sure how the ancient Hebrew was pronounced, but scholars believe it was related to your breath. Yahweh. Yahweh. Which means the ancient Hebrews believed that every time you breathe, you're actually saying God's name. As the breath rushes into your lungs and as it exits your lungs, you speak of God without even really knowing it. So Jesus is saying, "I am, I am." And then he says seven things. "I am the bread. I am the light. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the vine." Seven times he gives us these poetic images that are so deep and rich. But today I just want to focus on the first one that we heard in the gospel. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am food." Christ is food. Christ is food? Well, I spend most of my time trying not to eat too much food. I don't know about you. I took this great vacation. on this French island, and I had to have a chocolate French pastry every morning because you have to when you're there. It goes with the best coffee in the world. So, you know, it's a must. I spend most of my time justifying why I want to eat stuff or why I can't eat stuff. For me, food has become somewhat of a battle. In fact, I gained 5 pounds in 2 weeks. So for me, for Jesus to say, I am food, it's like, really? Okay. But we have to remember that in Jesus' time, there wasn't too much food like there is today. There was not enough food. There wasn't fast food. You had to catch the fish, and then you had to cook the fish. And you weren't sure if you were going to catch the fish. You had to get the grain and pound it and let it rise and bake it. You had to wait while you smelled the smell of the bread baking. People were always hungry, and they were always wondering when their next meal was coming from. So to say that God is food to them meant something very different. We do not understand hunger in America. We do not understand what food meant in the time of Jesus. But even though we are full and most Americans are a little overweight, I think that our souls are hungrier than they've ever been. In fact, I think that many Americans have souls that are starving. So I want to talk to you about soul food. When I was in New York City, I would be around crowds, I mean thousands of people, and I'd be lonely. Have you ever experienced that? Because I didn't actually know anyone with any depth. So although I was surrounded by human beings, I was profoundly lonely. You can be so busy and so successful and have plenty of food and plenty of money, and your soul can be starving because you're so busy that you never learn how to feed your soul or take the time to do that or to realize that it's important. So we're baptizing little Micah this morning, and what we believe is that Micah has a piece of God inside of him that we call the soul. The word in the ancient Greek is heart and soul, spirit. It's a mysterious word that cannot be defined. But inside of this little boy, we plant life eternal. But that soul has to be nourished. And just like you go to the doctor once a year and you get a physical, you should also think about the state of your soul. Because there are things that do feed your soul, and there are things that starve your soul, and there are things that hurt your soul. Injustice, violence, hatred, they can hurt your soul. Beauty, truth, art, music, incredible connection with someone you know and love deeply, they can feed your soul. But we as Christians are bound not only to care for Micah's soul, but to care for our own. You should be saying, how is my soul today? You know that verse? It is well with my soul. That's what I want you to say. And it is important to feed the soul. So even though you may not need any food in your body, believe me, you still need food for the soul. I think we're hungrier for soul food than we've ever been before. How many of you have read the book or seen the movie called Unbroken? Have you? about Louis Zamperini, the incredible Olympic runner, who during World War II was stranded in a little boat for like 48 days and then captured by the Japanese, where he was tortured and held in a concentration camp. And this man's body literally should have been dead. I mean, there is no accounting for how he survived physically. But one of the things that Zamperini talked about was something that kept running through his mind while he was struggling to survive. And it was this memory of his Italian mother cooking. He would sit at the top of the stairs and watch as she cracked eggs and put them into this dough and rolled them into the dough. And he remembered the look of her hands and the smell of the food as she made it. And it was this memory. It wasn't just the food, it was that it was made in love. It was really soul food. And the thought of it literally kept him alive. For years, I've told the story of when I was in college and I was researching the liturgy of the Russian Orthodox Church. And I studied with this beautiful old priest whose church was just dilapidated. It was falling apart. Floors were sagging. The paint on the walls and icons was chipping. And at the end of my stay, I was able to give him $100 in cash, which at the time was worth so... It was worth, I think, 33,000 rubles. And I thought he would fix up his church. I was all excited about what he could do. But instead, this priest asked me to come with him the next day, and he had two big shopping bags, and you know what he did with my money? He handed out 100 Swiss chocolate bars to orphans at an orphanage. And I watched their faces as they got this chocolate bar, and they had never tasted chocolate. And they loved this man. And at first I was mad and didn't understand, but later I came to understand that he was giving them soul food. He was giving them joy and hope. This stuff that we eat at the altar, this bread and this wine, if we could ever fully explain with words what it meant to the rest of the world, I think there'd be lines out the doors of this place. Have you noticed that when you eat this bread and drink this wine regularly, that if you go somewhere else to church and they don't have it, I don't know about you, but I feel like I didn't get to church. Like, what? When are you going to feed me? I need that bread and wine so much that it's become a big theological debate when to take it, you know, because the celebrant, well, a good host doesn't usually feed themselves first, right? We feed everybody else. But I also feel like it's kind of like those oxygen masks that come down on the airplane. It says you're supposed to put yours on first before you can put anybody else's on. So part of me says, I need to take it first. So I've kind of compromised and we sort of give it to the other priests and give it to ourselves and then we feed everybody. This is the stuff of life itself. It shapes you. It's like water dripping on a rock. It changes you over time. It alters your whole life. This is soul food. And you know, little Micah's mom, when she joined this church, she did basic A, and then some of the women started a small group. They call it the Basic A Gals, which I love. They get together and they talk and they pray, which is what I want for every single one of you, to find the small group that will feed you in that way. And the Basic A Gals cooked breakfast for the whole church this morning in celebration of Micah. They wanted to feed you. I want you to think about your soul, your heart. And just like you would diagnose your brain or your body, ask yourself, am I being fed enough? How is the state of my soul? Is it hungry? Or is it being fed? Amen. Emily, are you ready to come forward with Micah? He's being so good. Haven't heard a peep. You've got your bulletins with you? Come on up, guys. Olivia, you can come up too if you want. Olivia is Micah's cousin. Yeah. Come on up, honey. You guys have a bulletin? Good. Okay. The candidate for holy baptism will now be presented.
I present Micah Stanley to a man to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life?
I will, with God's help.
Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ? Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God?
I renounce them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love?
I do.
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?
I do.
Becky, would you turn around with Micah just for a second? Congregation, I'm asking you an important question. Will you, who witness these vows, do all in your power to support this child in his life in Christ? Let us stand and join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Let us now pray for this child who is to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Thank you.
Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen. Amen. Kids, you can all come around the font if you want to see the baby or see the water. Everyone who wants to see better is welcome to come up and see. Yeah. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who here are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Name this child.
Micah Stanley.
Micah Stanley. Micah Stanley, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Micah, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon this your servant the forgiveness of sin and have raised him to the new life of grace. Sustain him, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give him an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen. Amen. Let us welcome the newly baptized. We receive you into the household of God. Confess the faith of Christ crucified. Proclaim his resurrection and share with us in his eternal priesthood. The peace of the Lord be always with you. This is Jamari, who was baptized last time, so he wanted to come up too. Yeah. Let us welcome the newest member of the cathedral, Micah. Yeah, good job. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. If you're new to the cathedral or visiting, we're so glad you're here. And if you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift. But you have to hold it up so they can find you, okay? We're so glad you all are with us today. Welcome, welcome. And welcome, David. David, do you want to come up for a second and tell everybody hi? And where is Heather and the kids? Welcome over there. Welcome. I thought I saw her. Heather, you want to come up too?
We spent about 8 days in total with a break in the middle driving across country with almost 1-year-old and my 4-year-old. So we are excited and blessed and exhausted to be here. Thank you for your inspiring and warm welcome. Thank you.
So this is Heather and Jonathan and Gabriella. Welcome, guys. We're so glad you're here, and it's great to have you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah. So we're gearing up for the fall, and it's so exciting to have David and his family with us. We're getting ready to host some homeless families for Family Promise Weekend, and that week, we have them for a whole week. There's more information about that. We need lots of volunteers to make that work, so please check that out. We're also getting ready for Rally Day, which is the last Sunday of August when we have all of our ministries are on display. And you can walk around and ask yourself, what would feed my soul? How can I be of service to God? It's a great time to sort of think about the coming year. So we encourage you all to be part of that. And we'll be sending things about new classes and new events going on in the fall as well. We also promise that today all of the kids and grown-ups who are going to school or who are teaching would come forward. And if you brought your backpacks, great, but we're going to bless you. Everybody needs to say a prayer before starting school. So anybody who's coming up, for anybody who's going to school, would you come forward and we'll give you a blessing? All teachers, children, grown-ups, everybody who's going to be in school, let's say a prayer for you. And you can bring a backpack. If you brought a backpack, we'll bless those backpacks too. All right. Great, great, great. Lots of school folks. All right, guys, what do we want this year? We want our master's, someone says. Good. We want to get into college. We want healthy children. We want clarity of mind, right? We want scholarships. Yeah, what else? Well, we got to go to school, so we can't pray not to go to school. That was my son. Anybody else? Okay. The Lord be better teachers. Okay. All right. The Lord be with you. Almighty God, this beginning of the fall marks a big transition in the lives of all of these students and teachers. We ask you to bless them, be present with them, help them to have open minds and hearts to learn, help them to absorb wisdom, to bring goodness and patience to these schools. We ask you to bless teachers, students, helpers, help them all to come to a deeper knowledge of you through all of the disciplines that we learn, and help them to be thankful. To be thankful for the ability to absorb wisdom. And I ask that your blessing would rest upon them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And bless these backpacks. They may be bearers of good things. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Thanks, everybody.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home.
By your will, they were created and have their being.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation. But we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood you reconciled us. By his wounds we are healed.
And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitors. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and there is too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.